Good morning. My name is Jonathan Pasquale. I'm one of the elders at Resonate. Before we get started this morning, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for another opportunity that we have to gather together virtually to worship. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you speak through me this morning. May your words go forth and accomplish your will. We thank you for opportunities we have to learn, to serve you, to edify each other as we gather together as believers. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Well, this morning, I'm going to be sharing with you our next part in our series that we've been going through at Resonate. Before we get into that, again, I'm Jonathan. I'm one of the elders and pastors here at Resonate. And I just want to speak first about some sports. And the Olympics are coming up this week, like finally. And I'm super excited about it, even though we don't have a TV at home that we can watch it live, but I hope to catch some of the games. I remember going to the 96 Olympics in person in Atlanta. And when I think about the Olympics, I think about these professionals that are at the top of their game, and they are the best at what they do in the world. And what we're going to see during the Olympics is we're going to see people that they are performing in a singular moment that they've been building up to in a singular race or in one game. And we're gonna see them with their respective pieces of equipment. And so in these various sports, you know that they use their specialized pieces of equipment. Some of them are super specialized. Some of it is just a pair of running shoes. But we see everyone using their pieces of equipment in their games, in their sports. And in the hands of like unfamiliar, untrained people, when you put like a javelin or a tennis racket or a pair of running shoes, spikes, on someone's feet who isn't trained for it, well, then you don't result in a gold medal. You don't result in any kind of medal. You probably have people falling flat in the face and throwing javelins through whatever there is there on the field. And in the hands of these people who are trained, who are prepared, then these miraculous, magical moments happen. It's when you combine that intimate familiarity with the right opportunity when those moments happen. And so today, in the series that we're talking about, in the part of the series we're in, we're going to be breaking down and teaching through the benediction that we recite every week at Resonate at the end of the service. And so before we go on, let me go ahead and say the benediction. It goes like this: for the glory of God and his mission in the world, we go out today as disciple-making disciples, equipped by his word and empowered by his spirit to freely share our gifts with our church family and to proclaim the gospel through word and deed in all we do. And today we're looking at that phrase, equipped by his word and empowered by his spirit. So in fulfilling God's mission in this world, this is our equipment and our power, his word and his spirit. Our equipment, just like the Olympians, the athletes have their pieces of equipment, for us in this mission, this is our equipment, his word and his spirit. And just like with those Olympic games, with any sport, you need familiarity, you need practice. You can't just pick up a Bible and maybe never having read it before and then expect that you can share the gospel accurately. And while it's not outside the realm of possibility for like God's power, as a general practice, you can't just invoke the name of the Holy Spirit and hope that in a moment, in an emergency, magically he'll appear and do something miraculous, or maybe that you would even recognize his voice and his leading without the practice of walking by his Spirit daily in regular life. So as a biblical example for us, we're going to be studying a story from the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8. This is a story of Philip and the Ethiopian, and it's a story I love to recite, to hear, to share, especially when talking about baptism. But what we also see in this story is evidence of Philip being equipped by God's word and empowered by his Holy Spirit. And here's the lesson that we're going to come away with today, that miraculous moments of ministry are preceded by preparation and practice. So yes, God is all powerful And he's ultimately the one who saves every person. He can do whatever he wants. And he can use us in his plan as the hands and feet and mouth of Jesus. But that rarely happens in isolation. So we have mandates in scripture. We have descriptive biblical stories that support the reality that miraculous moments of ministry are preceded by preparation and practice. So I'm gonna go ahead and read the story of Philip and the Ethiopian, and I want you to just listen. I want you to take it in and kind of visualize the imagery. You visualize the people involved and the actions of what's going on in the situation. So if you need to, just close your eyes and picture the story, and listen to this in Acts 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning. He was seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Okay, so that's the story of Philip and Ethiopian on this desert road. Let's talk a little bit about the background and the context. Now, this Philip in this story, if the name Philip is familiar to you, it is not the same Philip who was one of the disciples, one of the apostles of Jesus, who he originally called. This Philip was actually introduced in Acts 6, and he's one of the appointed members of the church, appointed to be deacons in the community, one of the seven. And when the church immediately underwent persecution, Philip joined others in being scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And later in Acts 21, this Philip is called Philip the Evangelist. So that's the Philip we're dealing with here. And this desert road that Philip was on, this is a road that ran south from Jerusalem along the coast to Gaza. And we're told that the guy in the chariot was Ethiopian. And he had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and now he was headed back home. And going back home for him to that area that they named Ethiopia, but is not modern-day Ethiopia, it's more like modern-day Sudan, it would have taken maybe 5 months of a journey. So he was on that way back home. He's also a eunuch, and so he because of physical characteristics, he would have been ritually unclean and not allowed to enter the temple to worship. And so this is a guy he's somewhat on the fringes, but he is seeking. He's wanting to know and worship the one true God. So there's a whole backstory here to this man, of which we only get a glimpse. We're seeing a snapshot, but this Ethiopian eunuch had his personal experiences and his journey sovereignly shaped by God leading up to this moment. And when you think about it, that's true of others around us all the time, that everyone's on their own personal spiritual journey. And if we would only open our eyes and our hearts to that, we'd see God has primed these miraculous moments of ministry if we would only be practiced and prepared to step up into them. So let's break down the story and go through seeing what's going on in each part. In verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' and he rose and went. So it says, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. We don't know if it was a thought in his head or in a dream at night, or if it was while he was in his bed but lying awake. What we do know is that Philip did not question it. He didn't question the command from the Lord. He rose and went. So recognition was immediate and obedience was immediate. And when I think about that, that immediacy, I think about the story of Abraham when he was commanded by God to sacrifice Isaac in Genesis 22. I mean, he was told to take Isaac, his only son, and to go sacrifice him on a mountain that God would show him. And Abraham listened. He didn't question the command, and he got up early in the morning and he went in obedience. And the only way this works, the only way we could ever obey a commanding voice immediately, is if we know that voice and if we trust the person it belongs to. You know, when the prophet Samuel was a boy and he was first called by God, we read about this in the Bible, Samuel wasn't familiar with the voice of God, because God called to him in the middle of the night, and Samuel, as a boy, he got up and he heard the voice, but he thought it was the voice of Eli the priest, and he went to Eli and he said, "Hey, you know, you called me, I'm here," and Eli said, "No, that wasn't me," and this happened three different times, and Samuel still didn't recognize that it was God. And why not? It's because Samuel wasn't yet familiar with God's voice. He hadn't become so attuned to it, so familiar with it, that he recognized it right when he heard it. So how familiar are you with the voice of God? I mean, if you heard it in prayer, in your heart or in your mind, or even audibly, would you recognize it as God's voice? In this story, Philip's immediate obedience is evidence that he was familiar with the voice of God. He didn't question it. He immediately went. And God said, "Rise and go," and he rose and went. It says it, verse 27, "And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.'" So God speaks again to Philip. And this time, it says that the Spirit is speaking. So before it said an angel spoke, and now it says the Spirit speaks. And I don't think we need to be confused here. Often the Bible flips back and forth in saying God's commands came to people via angels or via God's Spirit. I mean, angels are God's messengers carrying the voice of God. And the Spirit is the person of God within us, believers in Christ. And so that Spirit is God's authoritative voice. And so what we see here again is Philip hears God speak, and again, he immediately recognizes the voice and immediately obeys. Verse 30, "So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him." So first, Philip ran to him. I mean, the Spirit said go, and he took off running. Immediate obedience. Trusting the authoritative voice, not letting a second go to waste, running. And we see the Ethiopian needed and wanted a guide. So years ago, I was in South America, and I was hiking in the Andes Mountains with my sister, and we were trying to do a self-guided trek to Machu Picchu. And on the second day, we were supposed to camp out at this highest pass of the trek, but we were struggling. I mean, my sister had this ginormous pack on her back, and she was going so slowly, and so all of us were going at that pace, and we weren't really sure of the way either. And it was getting a little bit later in the day, and we were a little bit worried. And so on the way, we saw this farmer out in his fields in the mountains, and we flagged him down and asked if he would guide us and if we could hire him and hire his donkey to carry the heavy packs. And he said yes. And it took several more hours, and I actually suffered from some mild hypothermia. But we eventually made it safely to camp at the pass that night. We couldn't have done it without our farmer friend. And he had just been tending to his fields. I mean, he had animals, he had crops. But in the moment that man was asked, he was ready to be a guide. the Ethiopian asked Philip to be a guide. And on the spiritual trek where the destination is meeting the Lord, God gives the tools, he lays out the path, but also provides experienced believers as guides along the way. We didn't write scripture. We aren't the final authority. We aren't saviors. But we can guide those who are lost, those who are seeking. So in that miraculous moment of ministry, when asked to be a guide, was Philip prepared and practiced, equipped and empowered? Well, let's see. Verse 32. Now, the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer was silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And so, to respond like this, Philip had to be familiar with that passage of scripture. I mean, Philip was part of the early church, and he was reputable and wise enough to be selected as one of the first deacons of the church. And he had likely studied and memorized scripture, and maybe even this exact passage in Isaiah. And so Philip was practiced, and he was prepared in handling scripture. So when the moment came, when that time came for ministry, he was ready. Jonathan Mayo quoted this verse last week in the sermon in 1 Peter 3:15. It tells us to always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Always be prepared. Philip showed that he wasn't just prepared with only his personal testimony, which is important, but he was also prepared with knowledge of scripture. And Philip knew how to take what was in the moment and connect it to the gospel. So if you notice, that kind of connection, that's what we do every week here at Resonate. You know, we were in the book of Exodus, talking through it section by section for about 7 months. And Exodus is in the Old Testament. It's a Hebrew scripture. And yet every single week, we connect it to the gospel. We connect it to the story and message, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that connection, it can happen in everyday situations, in everyday conversations, if we are ready for it. Yeah, I was working at my coffee shop one day alongside one of my baristas, and we got to talking about attendance at church. And she talked about how she would occasionally go to church when she was invited by friends, and that every time she really enjoyed it and really had a good, like, this emotional experience. But even after all those times, she still couldn't bring herself to believe fully in all the things she was hearing. And in this moment of exasperation in sharing with me, she said something to the effect of, I mean, if only God would show me a miracle, then I'd believe. And for me, that brought to mind the story that Jesus told of Lazarus and the rich man, of when Lazarus was in eternal torment, and he exclaims out to Abraham and says, if only my brothers who are still alive, if only someone comes back from the dead and talks to them, then they would believe. Like, if only they saw a miracle. And Abraham says, no, they've got Moses and the prophets. They have scripture. If they're not going to believe that, then they're not going to believe at all. And then I shared that story with my barista coworker, and then connected from there to the gospel message of Jesus and sharing about Jesus with her. Now, she didn't immediately believe in that moment, but I'd like to think that I stewarded that opportunity well, and that I was taking the chance to connect what she was saying to scripture and to sharing about Jesus. In the story in Acts, Philip, he stewarded his opportunity well. He demonstrated that he was practiced and prepared, that he was equipped and empowered and obedient to share the gospel when he was called to be a guide. Then what happened? Verse 36. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. So baptism was the next natural step. And this was not commanded by the Spirit, and Philip didn't have to go to scripture to see if it was the right thing to do. Ethiopian heard the gospel, believed, and was immediately baptized. And this is a side point to everything that we're emphasizing today, but it's not insignificant in this story that if you're a believer and you haven't yet been baptized, then please talk to someone at Resonate, one of the leaders, and reach out in order to be baptized. Because what's to prevent you from being baptized? Maybe nothing. Okay, moving on. Verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. Philip was led by the Spirit into the situation and was led by the Spirit out of the situation. And this is like the story of the temptation of Jesus when he was in the wilderness. That story was told in Luke 4. And it says this at the beginning of the story. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Okay? And so then it tells the story again where scripture is used and quoted. And Jesus had to be so familiar with it that he could respond to and correct misuse of scripture by the devil. And then at the end of the story, after the temptation and exchange with the devil coming out of the wilderness, it says in Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. So we see here, bookended, the Spirit guides every step of the way, commanding people to go into situations, giving words to say, bringing scripture to mind, leading safely through and out of situations. The Spirit did that for Philip. The Spirit did that for Jesus. And that same Spirit is the Spirit that is within you and me as believers in Jesus. You are empowered by the Spirit. And you can be led into and out of and through these evangelism conversations, ministry situations, by God, the Holy Spirit, the comforter and helper and guide that is within you. I mean, Jesus taught about this Spirit. He said these things in John 14:26. He said, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and he will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And in John 16:13, he says of the Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So in this story, we see a miraculous moment of ministry that a believer was able to step into, showing that he was prepared and practiced in being equipped by the Word and empowered by the Spirit. So for us, practically, like, how do we get to that point? How do we come to be familiar with the Word? Well, by reading the Bible as much as possible, daily. You know, at one point I wanted to learn Spanish when I was younger, and I took some classes in high school, but I wasn't actually competent and more fluent in the Spanish language until I immersed myself in the culture and lived in South America for a couple years. You know, fluency came more quickly with immersion. And the same is true if you want to be familiar with the Word and fluent in the gospel, immerse yourself in it. Very practically, set aside a time and place and habit routine for you to be able to read scripture as much as possible every day. For me, that's early in the morning. And I sit in a chair by my bed and dedicate and spend time to reading the Word. If you have never read the entire Bible before, Resonate actually has a resource that can help you to do that for the first time. It's called the 2-Year Bible Reading Plan. You can go to 2yearbible.org and you can look at the reading plan, download it, and we can connect you to podcasts as well, podcast episodes that will guide you week by week that are led by Sarah and Chris at our church. So read scripture often, okay? You get immersed in it and then speak that scripture to one another often. Like, deliberately find connections. And in the middle of a conversation, you can consciously and intentionally try to find a biblical connection to what's being talked about in a moment. And with familiarity, you can almost live out being a walking concordance able to connect random topics to Bible stories and to verses that you know, to kingdom truth. I mean, think about how Jesus, he walked through fields and gave parables about sowing the word of God. He saw birds and flowers and talked about how God takes care of his children. And if you think you can't do that, think about how we already operate like this in conversation, in day-to-day life, with TV shows. Like, we know how to do this with our favorite series, and we watch these TV shows over and over and over, and we know these episodes by heart. They're ingrained in our hearts, in our minds, shows like The Office, or Parks and Rec, or The Simpsons, or South Park. And some conversation or topic comes up, and then you find yourself making those connections, and you say, oh, you remember that episode in The Office when this happened? And people do it all the time. So don't give excuses. Like, familiarity with Scripture is not just for pastors and super Christians. You are capable of being practiced in Scripture. Do you care enough to prioritize that? There are ways to become familiar with the Word, with preparation, with practice, with this consistency day to day. And so how do we become familiar with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, that person of God? How do we become familiar with the voice of God? Well, it may seem like the easy answer, but I would say this: pray and listen. You know, it was during a personal prayer session on a roof that Peter heard the voice of God instruct him about ministry to the Gentiles. And it was in a corporate prayer and worship session when God's voice said to set apart Barnabas and Saul for the mission. And so I can imagine Philip on this desert road, as he was being obedient to God, he was in prayer as he walked before he saw the chariot. And he's like, okay, I'm here on the road, God. All right, what do you have for me? What's next? And he was listening for that voice. And in prayer, as he went, he got the next instructions from the Spirit. And you know, the voice of God doesn't have to come to you as this supernatural, audible voice that you can hear with your ears. It can be an impression in your mind. It can be a leaning of your heart. It could be that you're guided to read a specific passage of Scripture, and that is the voice of God. It could be a conversation that you have with a fellow believer, or with your life group, or with an accountability partner. It could be someone that you meet with for discipleship, or someone you meet with for spiritual guidance. That could be the means through which God speaks to you with his voice. God has used all those means and methods to communicate his voice and his will to his people. And in listening for the word, or for the voice of God, we'll go back to this point, that's to read the word. You know, familiarity with the written word will result in recognizing what is and what isn't the voice of God, or the whisperings of the Holy Spirit. Yet the Spirit will never contradict what the Word says. Jesus said the Spirit would teach all things and bring to mind what Jesus taught. Never a new revelation that contradicts Jesus' words or the character of God that we know from Scripture. So you can check what you think you hear with what you read in the Bible, and that should be the automatic practice for us. Now, could God use us anyway? Like, even if we weren't prepared in practice? Yes, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. But we don't count on that happening. You know, we don't live like spiritual couch potatoes. You know, those Olympians that are going to the games this week, you better bet they're not just banking on past wins or their natural athleticism to carry them through, apart from training, when it comes to performing in that moment. I mean, they're busting their butts to be the most prepared, the most practiced, so when their moment comes, they can step up and show that they're ready. One of the values we have here at Resonate is that everybody plays. And if you're going to be in this game, in the Great Commission, in the mission of for the glory of God and his mission in the world, going out as disciple-making disciples, if you're going to be in that, how familiar are you with the equipment, with the Word, and with the Spirit? Do you know those things so well that when your moment comes, when it's your time to take the field and make the play, that you can step up? And the reality for us is that disciple making is not an Olympic event that only happens every 2 or 4 or 5 years. This is an everyday thing. We are the light of the world. We are spreading the aroma of Christ wherever we go, at work or at home or at play or in the coffee shop, with our neighbors, with friends, with family. Those miraculous moments of ministry can happen every day within this fellowship of believers at Resonate. But we must demonstrate that we are practiced and prepared, equipped by His Word and empowered by His Spirit. And if you don't call yourself Christian, if you don't believe this and have not yet fully, I hope you hear the gospel message in all of this. There is good news for you. I mean, without Jesus, we are lost. We are all lost. We're destined for death and eternity without God. We're separated from Him because of our own sin and our rebellion. That separates us from fellowship with God. But Jesus, who is God's only Son, He bridged that gap. And he was sent to take the punishment for sin, dying a death on a cross that He did not deserve. And He defeated death and rose back to life. And by believing in Him, we also have life forever. And we participate in that full life and in the joy of that here and now on this earth. And if you feel like you're led to believe that for the first time, or you have questions about it, talk to one of us at the church. Request prayer online right now by clicking that button. Or discuss it with one of the friends that you have who is a believer. That is the good news that we Christians, we know and believe, the good news of Jesus Christ that is freeing. And we take that message to the ends of the earth, equipped by His Word and empowered by His Spirit. Let me pray for us. Father, I do pray, God, that we are ready. We are ready to step into the moments that You have sovereignly set up. These miraculous moments of ministry, help us in that process of preparing and practicing, of immersing ourselves in the Word and becoming fluent in that language, in the gospel message. Help us to be practiced in walking by the Spirit and listening to Your voice and hearing it and obeying it immediately. I pray that we can do that for Your glory and for Your kingdom. I pray for those who are listening who don't yet know You intimately. I pray that they do. I pray that they know this freedom and this joy that is life in You through Christ. Lord, may we go out today equipped and empowered in order to accomplish Your will in this world and the expansion of the kingdom. Be glorified, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone.